Well, here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, one state wants to start its own airline, and in one U.S. airport, you can now go with your traveling friends to the gate at certain times of the day.
Really? You mean like you can like walk to the gate with them?
Yeah, just like the good old days.
Yeah. I'll be waiting to hear how they are pulling that one off. Well, at 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler by telling you 6 warning signs that your hotel may not be where you want to lay your head.
At 3:35, we take you on the road to Tonopah, Nevada, one of my favorite outposts, to meet the current owner of the Clown Motel, a most unique place to stay. I say current owner because the motel is for sale. It is a great interview. It comes up at 3:35.
Heard of the movie It?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
One of San Francisco's most famous night spots is the Venetian Room. At 3:50, we introduce you to their new show scheduled for 2018.
And we save the best for last with a touching story from Key West. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, here we are in sunny California, you know.
Sunny is an understatement.
You got that right. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, every Sunday, 3 to 4. You can follow us at TravelGuysRadio.com, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I've been glued to the Weather Channel, and the whole time I'm thinking to myself, boy, I tell you, we were whining about the rain and the deep puddles here in California and Sacramento not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I look back on it and I go, that was really silly.
Kind of wimpy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the folks in Florida. But you know what? I just have to say this. And I have a lot of friends in Florida and lots of them in Key West. And we may hear from one of them before too long here. But I just want to say, why would you live in Florida in the first place? It's humid. It's hot. It's flat. If you wanted that kind of weather, you can live in California, ditch the humidity, and you've got mountains to ski on. You know, I mean, and I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I think that a lot about family that I have in San Antonio and in Houston and in Texas and that area. Same thing. But then again, I think this is something that is a little confusing. In San Antonio, the price of housing is probably, I don't know, 60% maybe at the most of what it is in California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way cheaper. But I'm guessing that property in Florida might be a little higher. Yes? No?
Well, it depends. If, for example, the Florida population is distinctly unique depending on what side of the state you're on. In Naples, you have mostly old money from the Midwest and a lot of money. I mean, downtown Naples, a lot of money. And on the Miami side, on the east side, you have mostly old money from New York and New England and stuff like that. You know, the old thing about if you're Jewish and you live in New York, you retire, you have to move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of retired folks in Florida, but depending on which coast you are on is dependent upon where you spent your earlier years, by and large.
Mm-hmm.
The folks on the west coast of Florida have much more of a Midwestern slant to them than the folks on the eastern shore of Florida. I don't know that that really matters at all today. And then the people down in Midwest are just, in Key West are just crazy. I don't know what that matters today. The rain is coming down all over the place. And last time I saw the Weather Channel, they were talking about in Naples about the water rushing out and trying to convince people that this was not the end of the storm, that the water was going to rush back in very soon and be really bad. And please don't go out and play in the driveway because it might be the last.
Yeah. I've always kind of thought that the quality of, you know, your weather and your living environment was somewhat relative to your cost of living. You know, people desire to live in California. It's more expensive.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, why isn't living in San Francisco really cheap? Because, you know, the closer to the coast you yeah. want to in San Francisco, the closer to the earthquake you are.
Uh-huh.
Not the earthquake that you might get, but the earthquake we will get.
This is only an hour program, so I'll explain that to you off the air.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's get to it. Travel guys always do the travel news. Mark's got it for us here.
We mentioned that there is an airport where you can actually go with the folks you're traveling with through the gate. That is in Pittsburgh. It's only between the hours of 9 to 5 on Monday through Friday. And the first day of the program was last week. And let me tell you a little bit about why this is. In Pittsburgh, it was a U.S. Air hub years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They built this concourse with like 40 gates for U.S. Air. And in the middle of it, they put a shopping mall, literally a shopping mall, a really cool shopping mall, the best shopping mall in any airport in the country. But then U.S. Air went away, and so did all the people who could shop in the mall who were running through there every day. So this is an effort by Pittsburgh Airport Authority, I'm sure, to get some people back into the shopping mall by saying, you know, you can come out here with your friends,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have to go through security and do the same. You have to jump through the same
hoops. Shopping mall is on the other side of security,
it
on
is.
The plane side.
It is.
Okay.
It is what they call the air side. So,
you just have to, you don't necessarily need to have a boarding pass to get through. Do you have to have somebody that's flying out with you?
You don't. You get something that with your name on it. They mm-hmm. look at your security at the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You get a pass, kind of like if you were escorting an unaccompanied minor to the
right.
gate, and then it allows you to get. You still have to go through, and you still have to go through security and get your stuff checked and wanted and all that stuff. But if you're willing to go through that, why then you can go with folks. It's in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you start it last week. I'll let you know how it works. Southwest Airlines is doing what's called a status match. You know what a status match is?
Well, not exactly. You know, I've heard it in regards to wanting to maybe get a status at a particular hotel.
Uh-huh.
It must have something to do with wanting to be a high status with another hotel other than the one you're with.
There you go. Hotels and airlines.
Okay.
In this case, it's Southwest Airlines.
How's it work?
It's offering a status match. So mm-hmm. basically what they're saying is if you have status with any airline, confirm status, you go to the Southwest website, there's a way to do this, and you go onto their website and they will match you to their A-list for the end of the year. And if you fly six flights, which is normally you have to fly a total of 25 one way, so that would be 12.
Mm-hmm.
Between now and the end of the year, then they will give you the status all of next year. You don't have to fly 25, you just have to fly 12.
Now, you are a United status guy.
Are you gonna
go after this?
I have the Southwest A-list status, which is there. They have two levels, so I already have that.
Oh,
so
okay.
It wasn't something that would appeal to me. But for business travelers who are out there, this doesn't cost you anything, and you can get Southwest status for the whole rest of the year. So you get a list, which means you get a confirmed number and a low number, and you can get some little advantages with Southwest Airlines. So it would be something that you would be crazy not to take advantage of if indeed you had that status and you ever flew Southwest. So if you do, go to Southwest Airlines website and you can become a Southwest A-list frequent flyer for the rest of the year. Hawaiian Airlines has told a passenger, a New Jersey man, who got drunk, and they had to turn around a Honolulu, New York flight. And so they have sent him a bill for $98,000, and the judge has said, Mister, you will have to pay this.
Wow. In other words, he was so drunk that they wanted to take him back where they picked him up leaving. He was going from Hawaii to New York?
Turning the Honolulu, New York flight around. So it was leaving Honolulu and going to New York.
Normally, drunk on the way to Hawaii.
They had to turn around and go back to Honolulu. So,
wow.
And they didn't charge him for the $46,000 in meal vouchers and hotel vouchers they had to give the passengers, but they charged him $98,000 for the fuel and the time and all that stuff.
Holy
so be warned,
cow.
If you're going to get drunk and get on an airplane, the airplane's going to come after you. Wyoming says they want to create their own airline.
All right.
They have crappy air service at high prices to Denver right now, and they say this couldn't possibly get any worse, so they want to lease their own airplanes and fly from eight Wyoming airports, Casper, Cheyenne, Gillette, Rock Springs, Riverton, Laramie, Wyoming, and Laramie, Cody, and Sheraton, all of the big, all the airports except Jackson Hole.
Why not? I don't think most airlines own their planes anyway. They're leasing anyhow.
They're leasing. It's just an interesting thought. Watch this space. JetBlue. Okay. By the way, some of the folks in, there was some weird stuff going on in Florida this week with the airlines in front of the hurricane. Some of the airlines were really gouging people. United and American and Delta were gouging the crap out of people. JetBlue jumped out immediately and said no plane flight out of Florida is going to cost more than $99. And if you're connecting, it won't cost you more than $159. But the other guys stuck by their guns for almost 24 hours. There were flights that were $2,000 and $3,000 that had been a couple hundred dollars the day before. And I just thought that was incredibly wrong to take advantage of people. And the airline said, well, it's algorithms and the demand for the flights went way up. So the prices went way up. And I'm like, then get a human being in there.
I do believe there was either a mayor or a governor, or whatever, one of the politicians, someone went to started calling these people.
Yes,
and saying you
the attorney
it
general,
off.
The attorney general of the state of Florida. It was the gal
That's
who did
it. Was,
yeah, she's. Don't mess with her. She's tough.
She said, I'm going to ruin you.
She will come to your house and wreak havoc on your front lawn.
Good for her.
On the phone. Listen, we have, speaking of Florida and the hurricane and everything, I have a tremendous number of friends in Key West. We go there every year with Sports Leisure Vacations. We take folks there. Our videographer, Matt Dockery, is from Key West, and he is on the phone with us right now.
Great.
Matt has evacuated from Key West. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I mean, you are in Lakeland, if I'm right?
I'm in Lakeland, Florida. It's the city I grew up in.
So tell folks where Lakeland is in comparison to, of course, Key West is where the hurricane first hit overnight, but you're in Lakeland now. Explain to folks where that is.
Yeah, if you look at a map of the state of Florida, Lakeland's as smack dab in the middle as you could get, and it rides about 8 hours driving distance from Key West, which is way out in the middle of the ocean.
So you have rain there at this point yet?
Yeah, right now it kind of just started getting stronger. I'm probably looking at, and I'm trying not to exaggerate, maybe 30 to 40 mile an hour sustained winds.
Yeah, so it's the eye has just moved north of Naples, so it's on its way to Fort Myers, and eventually we'll get up there by you. Key West, the hurricane passed over last night. The eye of the hurricane passed over an adjoining key. Have you heard anything from the folks down there? You told me by email this morning that some people stayed on the island.
Yeah, a good handful of people I know stayed on the island, and we're just now seeing some Facebook updates. People are getting in touch via landlines because apparently several landlines are working. So people up north, up here, are putting that information on Facebook, and that's where we're seeing it, which is good news. That's
so is there anything left of the island at this point? I mean, 120, 30 miles of winds over a place that isn't known for having any high spots.
Well, yeah, it's not going to be as bad as what you saw in, like, St. John, the Virgin Islands, and places like that, but it's not great. I'm concerned about some flooding right now. I've seen a couple pictures with roofs blown off, but I'm also getting good reports. I mean, there's boats all over the island, I'm sure, from the flooding and the wind. And we're seeing pictures like that come from our friends, but that's hopefully not going to happen here. I think it'll die down more before it gets here. I would like to go home with as little damage as possible, obviously.
Matt, what was the turning point for you when you decided that maybe you shouldn't stay? And do you know, did you have any friends or people that you know that decided they would ride it out?
That's a good question. I did wait to the last minute, but only because we were helping people get loaded. I did some real estate photos for some friends, so they'd have stuff for insurance purposes. But I did wait till what I think is the last minute. I got here the night before last. And so I did have a bunch of people that stayed. I was surprised by that. I also saw a lot of people who said they were going to stay and then left at the last minute, which was good. I think everyone's okay as far as I can tell, but I don't want to speculate.
Well, for the ones who stayed, there will be, you know, there's folks in Key West with great stories anyway. They go back to the Jimmy Buffett era. Some of them are probably true and some of them are probably not. But the folks who rode this out, they will be legends in their own time, I'm sure. Matt, before I let you go here, any thoughts? You had to leave your home and your business and your life on an island and go west, and you have no idea what you're going back to. What does that feel like?
Honestly, I'm just really looking forward to get back and helping and rebuilding all of that if need be. I mean, I hope it's just sitting there safely on all of us. But the sooner we can get back there and help that out and get all that back to normal, the better.
Well, good luck to you, my friend. Thank you for a few minutes of your time on a tough day, and I hope that the folks in Lakeland, that you guys get through it okay there. It looks like you're going to get a lot of rain, but hopefully everything will be all right, and you get back down to Key West. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Matt. Stay safe. All right. We are the Travel Guys, and coming up in about 3.5 minutes, 6 warning signs that your hotel may not be where you want to lay your head, or anything else for that matter. That's next. Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And I think all of us, or a large share of us, you know, when we book a hotel, or even if we're having somebody else book it for us, we like to go online and we like to look and see it and see how nice it is, and try to make a determination as to whether we've made the right decision. Well, if you're listening right now to the Travel Guys, my buddy Mark Hoffman here has another great list that's going to make you a lot smarter in regards to what you should look for to make sure that hotel you're going to be laying your head is a safe place.
Yeah, because when you're shopping online, and remember, our little thing is that we tell folks, feel free to shop third-party travel agent websites. Trivago is a good place to go. Kayak's a good place to go. But be ye not led to, it's Sunday.
It is Sunday, yeah.
Be ye not led to another third-party website like hotels.com or booking.com to book your hotel. Go right to the chain. If it's a chain, go right to that chain's website. If it's an independent hotel, they probably have a website. They'll probably match that price if you ask them. So, but you're online and you're looking for hotels and you want some things to kind of separate the good from the bad. First thing to look for is pictures on the website that have been heavily Photoshopped. Now, there's three kinds of pictures on a website for a hotel or a restaurant or a destination. There's the ones that appear on the homepage. They're usually very flowery. And then there's the additional ones the hotel might give you to give you a look at the hotel, a more in-depth look, or a restaurant might show you their banquet rooms and the like. And then there's the pictures that people have posted.
So you're saying that, you know, in regards to knowing whether they're Photoshopped or not, perhaps the ones that are posted are not?
Ones on the website that are on the homepage and stuff are frequently Photoshopped.
Yeah, those are going to be made to look
that picture
real
of
nice.
The pool looks a whole lot better than the pool has ever looked at any point in time. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that the pool isn't exactly the way it is in the picture, but the flowers and the light angle and the pretty ladies and the cocktail waitress and the, you know, it may not look exactly like that. So look at the pictures, go to TripAdvisor or a third party website and look at the pictures that are taken by normal people.
Mm-hmm.
And look at those ones that are on the homepage and stuff. And if they look kind of Photoshopped, why, that's a warning sign. Next one is the website is seriously outdated. This is the case for a lot of independent properties. Rarely the case for chain hotels because they have standards and things they have to do or somebody does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But an independent property, if you go on the hotel and they're talking about a special event in town that was held in July and that the rates are going to be higher for that weekend or that they have a renovation going on currently, and you look and you see that, well, the special event was July of 2015 or the renovation finished in June of last year, then that would be a sign to you that these folks are not keeping up their website. I wonder what else in the building they're not keeping up.
Interesting.
Okay. This is real obvious. The reviews on TripAdvisor aren't good. But be careful when you look at reviews because sometimes some people write angry reviews that are invalid. And some reviews are fake. And so what you're looking for is a chain or consistency. You're looking for over a 6-month period of time. Somebody mentioned that the desk clerk was really snotty or mentioned that the desk clerk was incredibly helpful and really made the stay better just because, especially in a small hotel, those things can happen. So those are things that you're looking for some consistency on because that would indicate to you that this good thing or this bad thing has existed for a long time and no one is attending to it.
So you look at reviews kind of as in a broad spectrum, rather than the specifics.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Unless, you know, if somebody complains, two people complain that the room service is bad and you never buy room service, who really cares?
You know,
I mean, it might be a sign that that there's other bad service in the hotel and you should, it definitely is a marker, but it might not be a big marker.
There you go.
Hard to reach a real person. You call the hotel or you send an email because you have a question about something. You call and the phone rings 35 times and then they put you on hold and now you wait on hold for 2 or 3 minutes and nobody comes. That's because only one person's working at the front desk and the hotel is understaffed. If it's hard to reach, if they don't answer their emails online, maybe it's because they don't have time or they don't care that someone is asking.
Either one is not a good thing.
Either one is not a good thing. Google Street Map view tells a different story. This one is important because for years hotels have said we're two blocks from the beach, but actually they were a half a block plus two long blocks plus another half a block, and really they're the better part of half a mile from the beach. But technically, you could probably say that they were two blocks from the beach.
Yeah.
So a Google map will tell you for sure where that instance is. And finally, the sixth thing on our list here, warning signs your hotel is not what it seems. It's listed on the bed bug registry. And there is actually a bed bug registry. You can just go to your web server and Google it and bed bug registry, and it will come up. And remember that just because your hotel once again had bed bugs
doesn't necessarily mean they still do.
They have bed bugs, exactly. So lots of hotels have had bed bugs at some point. The important thing is if they had them 6 months ago, did they still have them 2 months later and 2 months after that and 2 months after that? And there are some things you can look for the next time that you are shopping for a hotel online. And speaking of hotels, do we have the greatest hotel interview of all time coming up.
Coming up after the news with John, we're gonna visit with the man who owns the Clown Motel, and here's the good news: he's gonna sell it to you, but there is a caveat. Stay tuned. We'll have that for you next. The Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark has stumbled across something rather unique. If you're interested in perhaps a business investment, this could possibly be for you. But there is a caveat. Mark, tell us who our guest is and what we got going on here.
Maybe more than one. We have Bob Perchetti. Am I pronouncing that last name right, Bob?
Yeah, you are.
Bob is the owner of the Clown Motel in Tonopah, Nevada. And I'm a fairly frequent traveler through Tonopah a couple of times a year, and I've seen the Clown Motel. I've not been in it. But Bob apparently has decided that it's time to get out of the hotel business. So as Tom has mentioned here, if you are looking to get into the hotel business and you want a really unique property, then we might have a lead on it, on something for you. Bob, how long have you been in the hotel business at the Clown Motel?
Well, it's going to be 23 years here this first of the year.
When you bought the hotel, was it already in that sort of decor?
Yeah, it's always been the Clown Motel from day one. The people that built the motel, Leroy and Leona David, their dad was buried in the old cemetery right next to the motel, and they wanted to do something in his memory. So they built the hotel. They had a collection of clowns in Las Vegas in their house. They brought them up here and built a motel around them. So it's always been the Clown Motel. That's been the motif ever since day one.
Well, was there some sort of connection with clowns with their dad or their family leading up to this?
Yeah, actually there was. They both had a clown collection in Las Vegas, and they decided to go ahead and they got the idea of building the Clown Motel. Even though it's completely out of place because it's a historic mining town, they decided they still wanted to do it as a Clown Motel. Since day one, it's been the Clown Motel.
So do you have clowns, I'm guessing, in the lobby? Do we have clowns in the rooms?
Yeah, we have 600 clowns in the lobby.
Okay.
And we have shelves all over the Clown Motel. There are shelves full of clowns. We have clowns in the motel, mostly in the rooms. We have pictures. We have a couple of suites that have clowns and clown pictures in them, and they're just a little nicer with a lot more clowns. So we have clowns everywhere.
So every single room has clowns, and when you sell this motel to somebody, will it remain the Clown Motel?
Well, I hope so. We're going to try to make that a stipulation that it'll remain the Clown Motel. I hope that they take it and take the ball and run with it and just improve it, make it into a clown destination, maybe a clown theme park. There's so many things they can do with this. And the people are coming. People come in and take pictures. They'll drive all the way here from Seattle, Salt Lake City, San Diego, New Mexico. It's amazing. They drive here just to come to the Clown Motel. either spend the night or take pictures. It's quite an ordeal. If I was going to stay here, I would have done a bunch of things more.
But you've just decided that after 23 years that it's about time to move on down the road.
Well, whether I sound it like that, I'm going to be 80 years old on my next birthday. I have three sons, five daughters, and 14 grandchildren, and a wife that never sees me. If I'm in town, I spend a lot of time at the Clown Motel.
There you go.
So I need to hang it up and maybe take some grandkids and go fishing.
Good idea. So, way to go, Bob.
I think that's a great idea. And, of course, Tonopah is a little bit on the upswing now. The Mitzpah has been fixed up there down the street and may have another hotel open before too long. So Tonopah has had a fresh coat of paint. And if you're looking to get into the hotel business, you could – I'll tell you what we're going to do, Bob. We're going to post some pictures of the hotel. I've got a Huffington Post article here with some nice pictures, and we'll post some pictures on our website at travelguysradio.com if you'd like to take a look. And if you're headed anywhere near Tonopah – I strongly recommend that you make a stop here. Now, Bob, when folks stop for pictures, do you just let them take pictures for free, or do you?
Yeah, well, sometimes I supply them a red nose to put on, but I let everybody take all the pictures they want, and it's kind of neat. That's what people. There's very few people that are really actually scared of clowns. We do have a cemetery that supposedly has some ghosts in it, but the Clown Motel, we haven't seen any here.
Well, I think it's fascinating that the former owners, Tom, are buried next to the hotel there. I'd love to get the ghost meters out and go out and see if we could find something there. Might have to do that on my next trip to Tonopah. Bob, is there anything that you would like to tell somebody who might be interested in your hotel?
If you're a serious interested buyer, come here and take a look at the motel. I might treat you to a free room. Come take some pictures and... Tonopah is a wonderful town. We're on a major highway. We get about 3,000 cars a day pass by the motel, so it's a good investment. But I want to hang it up. I've done my time.
Okay. Final kind of combo question, and you may have already covered this. How many rooms does it have, and do you have any ballpark price tag on the Clown?
Well, we really haven't set a price yet on the Clown. Oh. I paid a lot of money for it back 22 years ago, over $600,000. It's got 31 rooms, 31 total rooms, plus a big laundry area and an office with the 600 clowns. And we have a cemetery right next door from 1901 to 1911. So it's kind of unique and different.
Is it a moneymaker, Bob?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
And my rates are very low. So if someone came in here and spent a little money, improved the rooms a little bit, they could get a lot more money for a room.
Probably very true. Bob Perchetti, the owner of the Clown Motel, at least for now. If you're interested in a motel, or you would just like to stay someplace really unique, there is nothing like it anywhere in the country. There are pictures and more information at travelguysradio.com if you like. Bob, thank you so much for your time today, and next time I'm coming through town, I'm going to look you up.
You do that, and thank you guys for calling me.
All right.
Appreciate it very much.
You bet, Bob. Thanks for being on with the Travel Guys here, just clowning around.
Okay. Have a good day.
What a character. The guy's 80 years old. He's out in the desert, and he's got this hotel, and he's decided that it's time to move on. But this place is cool, and it's creepy at the same time. We were talking about reading online reviews. Go online and read the reviews for the Clown Motel and see what you think.
You know, in the interview, he mentioned that, not many people are afraid of clowns. I think he's delusional.
Yeah.
Here again, it's just a coincidental that there's a brand new movie out. It's a remake of a Stephen King film and book called It. In fact, you said something, It, right towards the end, which caught my ear. But it's about a creepy clown that goes around killing people. I mean, and then you indicated to
you
me
you could have filmed it at this hotel.
You go, boy. And you indicated Clayton doesn't like
clowns. And I mean, there's clowns at this hotel on the door. You go into the lobby. I looked in the window one time because they're not open 24 hours a day. This is not the Hilton, you know.
Right.
And it's a fascinating place. And when he
600.
Said when he said that, well, 600 he paid for it. He wants 900,000 for it.
No, 600 clowns in the lobby.
Oh, 600 clowns. The thing is, when he said that people stop to want to take pictures, he just lets them. Now, some people in places like that, they're like, you want to take pictures? Pay me $5. You can take all the pictures you want.
Yeah, really.
So I just, it's cool. The next time that I go there on one of our ghost town trips, and did you catch the part? It's next to the graveyard?
Sure.
Oh, man.
That's what you do when you're not at, in your clown hotel room is you go out and walk the graveyard and read the tombstones.
You remember when we had the lady from Rosie the Riveter State Park, National Park on earlier this summer, and they were going to do the thing about how many Rosie
the Riveters. Do you have an update?
I do, and after this break, we're going to come back, and I'll give you the update on the Rosie the Riveter site, and also we're going to talk a little bit with a gal from the Venetian Room in San Francisco, a very famous old venue, as the travel and entertainment guys roll on.
Welcome, Travel Guys on the Radio. Mark Hoffman and Sam Romano again. Visit TravelGuysRadio.com. And let's see here.
If you don't have 55 minutes to listen to us during the on Sunday, you can get the podcast and without the commercials and the news.
Yes, 43 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You would know that because you're the man who prepares them.
There you go.
I mentioned before the news that the Rosie the Riveter gal, remember we had her on earlier in the summer, and they had set a record last year for the most people dressed like Rosie the Riveter, and they were going to try to break the record.
Right, and this is right over there in Oakland.
Yeah, and exactly, up in Richmond where the Parkside
is. Richmond, rather.
Last year they had 2,229 people dressed as Rosie, but this year they didn't quite make it. They had 1,600 Rosies this year.
Oh, I thought so, for sure.
Yeah, but they said that they're going to come back and try to do it again next year. So not every Rosie story has a happy ending. Do you know what the most annoying drink is you can order on the airplane?
The most annoying to you, the person who's drinking it
annoying
or the people around
to
you?
The flight attendant. The most annoying drink that you can order. This is kind of surprising, actually.
You know, I just don't. I have no idea.
Diet Coke. Because Diet Coke doesn't pour well in a pressurized cabin.
Really?
It always comes out about 3/4 bubbles.
Honestly,
so it means that you have to stand there and keep topping off the can, and it takes forever. So if you really want, if you order a Diet Coke, and the flight attendant looks at you and gives you kind of a funny look, and you think, did I do something wrong? The answer is, yes, you did.
You know, they always pour the drinks, you know, back in the, what's it called?
In the galley. It's on Southwest, yes.
So they're back there, they're shaking their heads, bubbles, stop, bubbles, go away.
But see,
we need to get this poured.
Exactly. Diet Coke, the most annoying drink that you can order on the airplane.
Wonder how I'd go with an Alka-Seltzer. Never mind.
We have a great story. Now that we know that the folks who stayed on Key West on the island as the hurricane passed over, like idiots, seem to be okay. I hope that that's the way the story ends. But we have a great story about something that happened on Key West here in the last couple of days, and I want to share it with you. But first, I want to talk to Marilyn Levinson, who is with the Venetian Room in the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. Good afternoon, Marilyn.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, you are most welcome. Sorry you had to follow the start of the tease for the chicken story. I mean, for the Key West story there, but...
That's okay. I learned a lot about ordering drinks on airplanes, so thank you for that.
you're very welcome. Marilyn, you are part of what is truly one of the most classic entertainment venues in Northern California, maybe in the country. The Venetian Room in the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco is very famous, but for a long time, there was nothing there. Tell us a little bit about the Venetian Room and how it has made a comeback in the Fairmont Hotel.
Sure. Well, as a native San Franciscan and being of a certain age, I'm actually old enough to remember the Venetian Room in the years that it was closing. It closed in 1989, and it had been in operation for 22 years. It had been in operation before then as one of our nation's greatest showrooms. It's where Tony Bennett first debuted I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Nat King Cole used to play there. And most notably, Ella Fitzgerald played there constantly and celebrated her birthdays there. So about... in the year 2010, the Fairmont asked my organization, Bay Area Cabaret, a local nonprofit, to reopen the room. So we did, and we brought in Marvin Hamlisch, now the late Marvin Hamlisch. We brought in Cheetah Rivera, Judy Collins, and many other musical theater, jazz, and pop stars.
Wow, it sounds pretty cool. So how has it gone? I mean, it's obviously the new schedule for next year is out, so it must be doing fairly well.
Yeah, it's It's doing so well. We have subscribers. They get the better seats and some discounts. They come to almost all of our shows. We have 9 of them this season, and sort of like one a month. And we try to vary the offerings. So, for instance, our opening night on the 24th of this month is a celebration of Ella Fitzgerald's centennial. And we have Frida Payne, who's a very famous singer that sang Band of Gold.
Yep.
We have one of the Manhattan Transfer founders, Janice Siegel, a 9-time Grammy winner, and Broadway star, Tony winner, Lilias White, all paying tribute to Ella Fitzgerald.
So you have, I saw Brian Stokes Mitchell, who did Ragtime on Broadway on your schedule. He's a tremendous talent. So you have your traditional venue. You have, it sounds like, a lot of traditional entertainment, but not everybody is into traditional entertainment these days. So what do you have if somebody's listening to our program and says, well, that's all fine and wonderful, but I'm 37 and I don't even know who Ella Fitzgerald is. So what is there at the Venetian Room for me?
Well, we have a push to include younger members of our audience. In some years, we do a Bay Area Teen Idol singing competition for high school students. We also, this year, on the 10th of December, we have Glee's Jane Lynch and The Office's Kate Flannery as part of a program. They do comedy and music. We have brother and sister Adam and Ariel Jacobs on the 20th of November. Most of our shows are on Sundays. That one's on a Monday at 7:30. And he's a star of Aladdin, and she's starred in Wicked. And they do this show with some acoustic and some electric music called Sibling Disobedience, which is a lot of fun. And then finally, on the 11th of February, we have one of the stars of Broadway's hottest musical, Dear Evan Hansen. This guy's name, I wanted to say kid, but his name is Will Roland. And he does a show, again, part electric, part acoustic, called Loser Songs. And it's for teenagers, specifically teenage boys, and the adults who try to understand them.
Wow. So I didn't know I was going to get that answer when I asked the question, but so the Venetian Room really does have a wide variety of you aren't lost in the last century. You really do have on your schedule something pretty much for everyone, Tom.
Yes, we really aim for that. And in fact, our closing night on the 29th of April, we have a group from London, a close harmony singing group, the Puppini Sisters. And the last time we brought them, Hugh Laurie came to the show, and Michael Bublé is a big fan of theirs. And it's something else entirely different. So that is our goal, to expand people's musical tastes and just really have fun in this magnificent venue.
You know, sometimes it's not just about the entertainment that is in a venue like this. It's about being in a place with so much history. I mean, the Fairmont Hotel was not quite finished back in 1906 when the earthquake hit and took it down, and then a lot of the interior was destroyed, and then they built it all back, and then all of the different things of historical value that occurred there, and the artists that have played in the Venetian Room. I mean, there are ghosts there.
It's really,
it's
a piece of history. I mean, it really is. When you go there for a show, you're not just going for a show. I mean, people talk about how things should be an experience. And dare I say, going to a show at the Venetian Room in San Francisco at the Fairmont Hotel is truly an experience. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we have a link to that will give you their entire schedule, all of the ticket prices, and all of the wonderful things about the Venetian Room. Marilyn, thank you so much for some of your time today. And I hope you will not be a stranger. Come back again sometime and give us an update about what's going on at truly one of Northern California's great, great entertainment venues.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. How about that? The Venetian Room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bringing a little class here to the Travel Guys Radio, because we're about to abandon all class and talk about.
Please.
Does
that mean I have to leave? Or
go to Kauai. If you go to Kauai,
mm-hmm.
on the island every morning about 5 a.m., if you're sleeping, you will be awakened by the roosters. crowing all over the place in
right.
Hawaii.
They're in Fair Oaks.
There's another place, well, besides there in Fair Oaks, that you can go where you will hear roosters crowing early in the morning, and roosters, wild roosters, will walk the streets along with you all the time, and that is Key West.
Really?
And so this is kind of a cool story. You can see some pictures of this if you go to travelguysradio.com. We have, it's under a Good Samaritan in Key West. A guy, when they were, most of the folks were finally leaving the island on Thursday and Friday. This guy went and he got a bunch of the wild chickens and wrapped them in newspaper. There are pictures of him putting them in his car, and he took the chickens with him when he left Key West, so that if there was a huge storm surge and the chickens didn't make it, that some of the chickens could be brought back to repopulate. And I, the only thing I'm thinking is he didn't take any of the six-toed cats. But hopefully they found a place in high ground. Cats are probably better than chickens at
six-toed that. Six-toed cats?
There are six-toed cats that Hemingway wrote about at the Hemingway House in Key West. There are six-toed cats.
You definitely want to go to Travel Guys Radio, click on the Good Samaritan thing, and check this out. Mark pretty much described it. There are chickens wrapped in newspaper, and it looked like maybe a little tape. Thank you very much to keep them from flying away.
It gives chicken wrap a whole new meaning. And who would have thought of that? I mean, how cool is that? But I'm not surprised that someone in Key West thought of that. And so my best to all of the people in Key West, to the ones who left or the ones who stayed. I hope that there is something to go back to. I have a group of folks who have bought a tour package to go there at the end of January.
It's going to be your package is in January?
At the end of January.
Yeah.
And so people will say, well, are you going? And I'll say, well, let's wait a few days until they can get back to the island and see what's left. But I was telling folks, we stay in the La Concha Hotel, which is this landmark building that is when they left the entire island and there was nobody left, and the police and fire had to stay in one spot. The La Concha Hotel is where they stay because that is the most solid building on the island. So I'm sure there will be even more stories about Key West.
Yeah, let's spend some time here in the next few weeks talking about travel insurance and what it covers and what it doesn't. We've talked about it before, but now we can put it in perspective into something that is really real.
Yeah.
And that occurred. Maybe Gwen can chime in. Maybe she has some new information.
You got it. Thank you, my friend. Good program.
Okay, next weekend on the Travel Guys, Mark's going to talk about his
Tour preview day.
Thank you very
much. Sports Leisure Vacations.
There you go.
All those brand new trips. All right. We got to get out of here. Dance like nobody's watching. We'll talk to you next week.